A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 2, 1990, entitled, Waiting for the Word to be Born in Us. The scripture readings are Isaiah 40 and John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and chapter 6, verses 46 through 51. The texts for the sermon are Isaiah 40, verse 8, and John 1, verse 14. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
It is a busy season and a good season and a full life together in the community of faith. And so I should say to you, Happy New Year, as I warned you last week, for it is the first Sunday in Advent, and that must be obvious to you already in this service. We have entered into a new season. We go to the cycle one more time. We who live our lives within the constraints of the ordinary calendar that begins January 1 and ends December 31, the calendar that would press us into its mold as though our life were made up of endless days, day after day after day after day, with no clue as to the meaning or the significance of those days. That is chronology. In the Greek language, that word for time speaks of the succession of one moment after another moment after another moment after another moment. Just chronology. The ongoing, everyday, ordinary development of the course of history one day at a time. But the Greeks knew that there were special times, and they had another word, the word kairos. Those were moments that were filled with eternity. Those were moments that were filled with special significance. Those were moments that punctuated the ongoing course of time, illuminating the whole, because in a moment of that inbreaking from beyond, there came illumination, and the meaning and the purpose of the course of history was given in those special times when God visited and redeemed His people, when God made God's self known, when in those moments there was a special message, a special word, or supremely a word made flesh. And so the Greeks understood that time can be experienced as ordinary and sometimes dull and boring, but also time can be filled. Sometimes we speak of how time flies. Time flies when you're having fun. Sometimes we speak about how time drags. In chronology, there's no difference. When it's flying or when it's dragging, it's all the same. But we know the difference. Sometimes we hear of those in crisis or trauma who say their whole lives were flashed before them in a moment. It was as though that moment of chronos could contain eternity, a whole lifetime in a moment's time. Time is like that. And God has taken time for us. God has come to us. And Advent is that season in which we remember that God has come. God has redeemed and visited God's people. God has set us free from the monotony and the pressure of ordinary time and has given us special time, fulfilled time, time filled with eternity. And in the church, we go through the cycle, year after year after year, in order that we might have our minds shaped by another time, in order that we might be reminded that we are not simply of the dust and of the earth, not simply mired in history, but that we live also above it and beyond it, because the eternal God has visited us. Sometimes we can get so weighed down with time. Judah was that way. They lived exiles in a foreign land. They had nearly given up any hope that their God was God indeed, and that God's promises would ever be fulfilled. Obviously, it must be the gods of Babylon that prevailed, for they were the victims of the conquest of that great Babylonian empire, and they lost their moorings. They lost their rooting. They forgot their tradition. They lost their hope. And into the middle of that community, a voice was heard. And the voice said, "Preach." And one who heard it said, "Preach. What should I preach? What good is it to preach? All flesh is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. Preach? Why should I preach?" And the voice came back and said, "To be sure, the grass withers and the flower fades." This is no denial, in other words, of the transiency of the human, of the passing nature of the historical. But the word of our God abides forever. Therefore, get up into the mountain. Get up into Mount Zion and say to the cities of Judah, "Behold your God. You have forgotten God. You have been so depressed, so oppressed. Your spirit has been so heavy. You have been so conditioned by the hopelessness of your historical situation. Now listen, God is coming. Go into the desert. Make a way for the Lord, for he will return you to your home, and all flesh shall see the deliverance, the salvation of our God." And they did return. Over 2,500 years ago, a band of people went home. The catalyst being the word, the prophet's word. The word that believed against all appearances. The word that had not forgotten God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the God who would make good the promises that were made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And 500 years passed. And again, a people tended to forget. Just being caught up in the tyranny of chronology. Just living to make a living. Just existing in poverty, demoralized, going nowhere. But there were a few who remembered and who prayed and who waited on the Lord. Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary. And the angel said to Mary, "You will be with child of the Holy Spirit." And she said, "How could this be?" And the angel said, "With God all things are possible." And she said, "Be it unto me, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." And Mary had a baby. And John says, the word that was with God, the eternal word, was made flesh in the womb of Mary, full of mystery and miracle. The Creator God, the Redeemer who would come and visit God's people, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as he grew, he announced the rule of God, the presence of the kingdom in his own person. And they didn't believe him, and they challenged him. But he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven. I am the living bread. And the bread that I give is my flesh for the life of the world. And they crucified him. But before they did, he took bread and broke it and said, my body. And he poured the cup and said, my blood. My flesh and my blood for the life of the world. And so, we wait for the Word to be born in us. I don't know what I mean by that. And even less do I know how to tell you to put yourself in the way of that happening. For that to which I point now is mystery and miracle beyond anything that I understand. But I do suggest that Advent is the time to wait for the Word to be born in us. We know the story. I preach the story. We teach the story. We know the tradition. Some of us, for decades, but for the Word to be born within us, in order that it might not simply be, this is what the church teaches, or this is what the doctrine says, or this is what it says in the Bible, that it might be more than that, that it might be the Word being born within us. We tell the story, we preach it, we teach it. A Hasidic story of a Reb whose student asked him in relationship to Deuteronomy 6:6, write these words upon your heart. The student asked, why does it say, write these words upon your heart? Why doesn't it say, write these words in your heart? And the Reb answered, we can only write the words on the heart. And writing them on the heart, when the heart breaks, the words will fall in. It is not ours to write the words in the heart. For the Word to be born within us is an act of God, a miracle, a mystery, the work of the Spirit of God. But it is His Advent. And we place ourselves in that posture of waiting, praying, that the Word might be born within us, that it might somehow get into our heart. Pray, God, that our hearts need not be broken, but they may be broken. And sometimes when they are broken, we may be as Judah, without hope, tossed about, desolate, without consolation. But sometimes that may be precisely the posture in which the Word over long years, written on the heart, may filter down in. 1990, Advent. Where are you coming from? Where are you? How are you? Do you long for the Word to be born within you that you might speak in your own voice? The Word ripening within you that it may not simply be what the church teaches or what the Bible says, but coming out of the very depths of your own being, this is the season to wait on the Lord. The psalmist said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. The prophet said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. I don't know how that happens, but I know here and there, now and again, it happens. And where there is a longing, a hungering, and a thirsting, maybe even in a moment like this, with a crust of bread, a few drops of juice, the touch, the taste, would be enough for the Word to be born within us, and we might know ourselves loved everlastingly, bound to the eternal God, graced, embraced, simply loved. Nothing that is possible can save us. We who must die demand a miracle. Dear God, give us a miracle here and now. Eat and drink and prepare your heart to break if need be, that the Word might be born within you.